This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. The field of welding is overwhelmingly male, but an organization based here in the Midwest is aiming to change that. The Latinas Welding Guild is joining together not just pieces of metal, but a community of women who share an interest in this craft. The group achieved some notoriety this summer after welding a replica of the Eiffel Tower for the U.S. Olympic swimming trials in Indianapolis, covered here by local TV station WTHR.
In the world of welding, Sage Moreno fits right in.
Being able to really push ourselves to do things that men, you know, are mostly known to do, it's very powerful.
She's among countless others working on a massive project at Latinas Welding Guild.
For Consuelo to have created a company, you know, primarily focused on getting women who are Latina welders, it gives me chills.
Yeah, we're down to the wire.
Surreal to be nearing the finish line of creating a 14,000-pound steel replica of the Eiffel Tower just in time for the U.S. Olympic swim trials in Indianapolis.
We heard name check in that clip, Consuelo, and I am joined now by Consuelo Lockhart, the founder and executive director of the Latinas Welding Guild. Consuelo, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, well, thank you for the invitation.
Listeners, you can join us for this part of the show. 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. All right, let's start with your story. What got you into welding?
Yeah, so I mean, it was, it is even to this day still feeling very surreal that I'm actually in the welding industry. So I was born in Guatemala. And I was adopted by an American family when I was 3 years old. So for me, I always knew I wanted to be an artist. And so I think when I was first kind of thinking about art as a career, I was always drawing or painting. And then eventually, once I graduated high school, my plan was to definitely go to college. And growing up in Traverse City, Michigan, it was always told to us, you know, if we didn't go to college, we wouldn't really have like a career or good chances of a career. Mm-hmm. And so, and the trades were just never really talked about. I felt like it was always kind of talked in a negative light, like, you know, oh, if you're not economically inclined, or like, you know, people who might not be like ambitious or whatever. So they would go to the trades. That's kind of how that narrative was always kind of told to me growing up. And so then I actually discovered welding when I was at Kendall College of Art and Design. One of my professors, Bob Marsh, in the functional art department, was like, okay, we're going to do a project. And at that time, I'd only been doing like woodworking. And so he was like, I think you should really try to do something in metal. And I'm like, okay, I don't know how to do that. And so I got a quick tutorial from another professor to learn how to weld. And so it was just kind of like instantaneously, I was like, oh my gosh, I've been missing out. I never want to do any sort of woodworking ever again. just because steel is so much more forgiving and it's so much more malleable. And like, for me, I think whenever I create something, I feel like I'm really ambitious. And that's kind of where steel can definitely be a lot quicker to, you know, to create something. So that's just kind of how it started. And then I graduated from college, didn't know what I was going to do, and applied for a grant and was able to go back to school for welding and fabricating, which, you know, I was kind of like, well, I can just build on some of the skills that I learned in college and see kind of where it takes me. And it kind of just hit me because like when I, growing up, I always wanted to get back to Guatemala and like figure out how to kind of like make an impact, but also make my family proud and see that, you know, even though I was put up for adoption and I was the only one in my family, like I am trying to make the best, the best reputation and career. And just like, you know, I'm really just trying to make them proud from a distance. Mm-hmm. So I always thought that would be through like 2D art, but then now with welding, like when I got done with school, I was like, you know what? I really want to start an all-women's welding school in Guatemala. That's what I want to do. So that's still my long-term goal, but
yeah. Well, let's talk about learning welding. So this is, I looked up, and I guess in the more industrial side of the industry, it's like 95% male, which is more male than even commercial fishing and logging industries that are sort of associated with men. Talk about that. What was your education like? Were you often the only woman in the class, or is it different in the sort of art school welding versus the trade school type welding?
Yeah. So I think, like, just in general, anything that's like 3D, like especially when I was at art school, a lot of the fields that I wanted to go into, like industrial design, that was predominantly male. I ended up doing a path change, like into functional art. So when I was even exploring other programs, I'm like, well, I don't know if I want to do that. And then it's like, oh, it's mostly male dominated. And so like when I was in functional art, that was also male dominated, but I did see more women than I did in industrial design. And
sorry, what does that mean? Functional art? That's not a term I'm familiar with.
So, to me, that's like conceptual art. So, okay. Like furniture, at least that's what I like making. I like making something with a function.
Oh, as opposed to just something to hang on the wall or something decorative.
Yeah, like
decorative
a sculpture.
Art. Okay,
yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail you. So you're looking into all these fields, and it's a lot of men.
Yes, it was a lot of men. And so when I was learning how to just basic woodworking skills, like, you know, I would have to go and try to pick up my own supplies. And I always felt like people, like a lot of the men that I came in contact with, would be really irritated with me because I was asking questions, and I'm like, I mean, how am I supposed to learn? Like, you know, I'm asking you like how to do things, and I'm trying to learn for myself. But you know, it's like that stuff never really bothered me, because like, I think for me, I'm like, okay, fine. You don't want to help me, I'll ask somebody else. Like, so I would always just kind of quickly move on. And then when I learned how to weld, it was kind of the same thing where I'm like, okay, if I want to make a project, where do I go to get steel? So now I'm starting to ask all these questions on like figuring out how, like, you know, oh, do I paint it? Oh, there's a powder coater. Oh, that's somebody who can like, who specializes in finishing steel. So it's like, you know, for me, I had to kind of fumble on my own. And, you know, in some ways I'm kind of glad that I did, because I feel like it really helped me meet people along the way who understood what it was that I wanted to do and were willing to like help me. And so, you know, it's like I got a lot of no's, or, you know, kind of side eyes along the way. So I think I do have a tough skin for a lot of that. But then, you know, when I was like thinking, like, you know, I guess I'll go back to school. When I was in class, I was the only woman in my class. I was the only Latina. But I was also one of the only people in my class that was willing to ask for help. And I noticed that in a lot of my class, like a lot of my classmates were not asking for help. They were kind of just going in, jumping in. And where for me, I'm like, okay, yes, we're watching videos, doing handouts, readings, and all of that. But our instructor wasn't always giving us demos. And so for me, I'm such a visual learner that for me, I'm like, okay, every class period, I'd ask him to watch me weld, or if I could watch him weld, because I really wanted to understand like what I was doing wrong, or like, you know, what a good weld versus a bad weld looked like. And, you know, that's pretty typical in a lot of like trade schools, that like when you're learning welding, it's a lot of like the instructor just kind of hands you the book and the video, and it's like, okay, now you have to go out and learn, just basically trial and error, figure it out on your own.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm like, you know, I'm not like that. And I also know a lot of people who are not like that either. So it's just like a lot of the experiences that I had, like going through school and then going through the welding program, where I'm like, you know, the group that I want to create, which is now Latinas Welding Guild, I really want to focus on a safe learning environment. And I always try to stress to everybody, including people on my staff, that there's no such thing as a stupid question, because a lot of people don't know a lot about the welding industry. And I'm like, if I can help guide you and give you all of those resources and tools and advice and guidance that I never got when I started, I would love to be able to be that person for somebody else.
Let me remind listeners, we're talking with Consuelo Lockhart, who is the founder and executive director of the Midwest-based Latinas Welding Guild, which aims to teach Hispanic women how to weld. both as an art and as a craft, potentially. And this is a male-dominated industry, not one that has had a lot of Latinas in it traditionally, but Consuelo is aiming to change that. So what sort of people have turned out to join the program and learn about welding?
Yeah, so, I mean, when we first started, it was really, we were just focusing on women, underrepresented women. And then as we kind of continued on, we kept getting a lot of like interest and people kind of pleading like, hey, my husband, my brother, my son, my father, my grandfather, you know, like there was more demand for not just women to get into the industry because, you know, and then as we started like exploring, like, okay, do we want to do co-ed classes? Because the whole point of us starting focusing on women was because there's not really a safe place for women to learn. And so like, at this point now we've opened our doors to serving everybody. And what's really amazing is like the fact that we have like an entire family coming through programming, because now we're offering youth programming, we have adult programming. So it's like, you know, we could see a mother, a daughter, a father, a son, a brother, a grandson, a granddaughter. I mean, it's just like truly amazing to see an entire family being impacted by welding. And, you know, I think one of the main reasons why people come to us is because we do offer bilingual curriculum. And like for us, we, you know, we're like my staff included, like all of us on the team are now that representation that none of us really got to see when we were growing up, especially in the industry, because we do have some staff on that have come from like nonprofit world, but maybe don't understand the industry. Then we also have some folks that are coming from the industry, but don't really understand nonprofits. So it's like, we're really having to create our own kind of talent. And then on top of that, we're also able to relate to the students that we see coming through. And so, you know, we do have single parents. We may have some opportunity youth. So maybe some youth that are facing homelessness, addiction. We also are doing reentry. So it's like, we are really trying to like uplift and empower a lot of the different pockets of the community who have never had this opportunity. And like, we really don't want like tuition to be a barrier, because I think that's one of the reasons why some people just don't go back to school, is either the time commitment and the financial part of it. And that's where we really try to condense our curriculum to a more digestible time frame, because even for an associate, that's 2 years. 2 years is a very long time. Even a year is a long time for somebody to commit to like a program and everything.
Wow. Well, it sounds like quite a project, and I look forward to seeing where it goes next, including potentially back to Guatemala. As you said, Consuelo Lockhart is the founder and executive director of the Latinas Welding Guild. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today on the 21st Show.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me.
That's all the time we have for our show today. Coming up tomorrow, when it comes to the most contentious issues in our politics, what do you know to be true? What are you certain of? The author and University of Illinois professor Alana Redstone says you're probably certain of too much. Her new book is called The Certainty Trap, and in it she argues we should be questioning ourselves more and judging other people less. We're going to talk with her for the hour tomorrow on the 21st Show. I want to urge you to visit our website, 21stshow.org, where you can find links to the conversations we've had on the program, as well as how to join our texting group, our email address, our voicemail line, social media, all the ways to get in touch with us. You can also find links to subscribe to our podcasts, or just look us up on Apple or Spotify, or now YouTube. Yes, you can find the 21st Show on YouTube. It's just audio. Don't worry. You don't have to watch us doing the show, but you can find that by searching for Illinois Public Media. Again, go to YouTube, search for Illinois Public Media. It's said to be one of the fastest growing platforms for consuming programs like ours. The 21st Show is produced by Anna Casey, Christine Hatfield, and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Kulsum Khan. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick's our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.